The secret of simple. I don't know why I've been given this topic to speak on. I know there's about the simple, but I'm not so sure about the secret bit. The secret of simple. It's a nice thought, isn't it? Life is really complex and challenging, isn't it, to navigate and negotiate our way through our modern world when there is so much stuff around the place. Is a challenging thing. Let's look at these words of Jesus, these wonderful words that he wrote. Not those. Yeah, actually, that he did actually say that. I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? But we do worry, don't we? And particularly as we, in this season here, maybe some of you feel like you need to hear that message. Christmas is coming. It's how many days? Somebody will know. Not many. I'm trying to, here we are. We're reminding you. It seems a bit soon to be singing carols almost, doesn't it? But here we are. And particularly the caterers in the household and the present buyers will be extremely stressed. Although, I was at somebody's house the other night, and they had their Christmas tree up and the presents wrapped underneath the Christmas tree already. Are they here? Steph's not here, this one. Is it? Who's done that? Hannah, are you there? Are you? No? No? Okay. I like this, really, because it can be quite... I like that idea. But we can, without unwittingly really, be very attached to our stuff. I heard of a guy who was so attached to his stuff that when he died, he asked that all of his really significant, important things were put in the coffin with him. I'll tell you what, the cat was very unhappy about that. But our relationship with things is a complicated thing. We've just come off the back of Black Friday. I made a deliberate policy of not buying anything at all on Black Friday as my sort of protest. In fact, sales went up, didn't they? So it didn't really work too much. But it's kind of grotesque, really. The average Briton spends £350 on festive gifts, and that is £110 higher than those of our nearest neighbours, according to some statistics from which were brought out last year. It was an ING study of 12,000 people found this. We spend more than the French and the people from Luxembourg and all over the place. However, this generosity, I suppose it could say something about our generosity, has a downside, because a study also found that last year more people in Britain found themselves in debt after Christmas than anywhere else in Europe, except Romania, I think. Oliver James, I don't know if you've ever come across this guy, he's a little bit controversial, but he wrote this book that was very popular a few years ago. It's called Affluenza. And he's a great advocate of simple living. He's a psychologist, and he says this. He says that we're infected with something he calls the affluenza virus in the Western world, the English-speaking world, actually, more specifically. And he says this: the affluenza virus is a set of values which increase our vulnerability to emotional distress. It entails placing a high value on acquiring money and possessions, looking good in the eyes of others, and wanting to be famous. So that's kind of describing our culture. Just as having the HIV virus places you at risk of developing the physical disease of AIDS, with affluenza, the affluenza virus, you're susceptible to the commonest emotional distresses: depression, anxiety, substance abuse, and personality disorder. And one of the things that's kind of pretty obvious to say about our culture, there's a lot of people struggling with mental health issues and depressive illness. And there must be something about our environment that's doing that to people. I always remember when the credit crunch first came, when we had this massive financial crash. Oliver James was on the TV berating some politicians and demanding that they apologise to the British public for making them sick. Make of that what you will. But here's his checklist, and all you've got to do in your head is answer yes or no to any of these questions, okay, in your head. You don't have to put your hand up. I would like to be a wealthy person, yes or no. I would like to have my name known by many people, yes or no. I would like to have successful, I would like to successfully hide the signs of aging. Yes or no? I would like to be admired by people, yes or no? I would like people to comment on how attractive I look. I would like to keep up with fashion. I often compare what I own with what others own. Possessions can be just as important as people. That's tough, isn't it? Yes or no? Shopping or thinking about shopping preoccupies a lot of my thinking. I'm less concerned with what work I do, but more concerned with what I get for it. Yes or no? I admire people who own expensive homes. My life would be better if I owned certain things which I don't have now. That's a pernicious one. I fall into it often. If I just have that, it will make me feel better. Yes or no? As the list goes on. And he says this: if you answer yes to any of those questions, or even to one of them, you've been affected by the affluenza virus. There you go. Life is much more than stuff. And we know that, instinctively we know that. But again, our culture and our drive to find meaning and security and reality often pushes us towards things. And this season does it in bucketfuls. We've all been cooing and admiring the latest John Lewis advert, which is quite cute, that little old man. I mean, how on earth he ever got to live on the moon, I'll never know. But these things aren't meant to be logical. With a tear in his eyes, he's looking back at the little girl who sent him a wonderful present. Isn't it sweet, etc., etc. Except what they want you to do is go to their store and buy stuff. That's it. It's cold and hard and it's nasty. Don't fall for it. So when you start feeling emotional at an advert, stop yourself. Go into the bathroom, give yourself a good slap and say, all they're wanting to do is sell me stuff. Life is much more than this sort of stuff. Listen to these words of Jesus again. Look at the birds of the air. This is kind of logical. Jesus is being really logical here. Think about this. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they, than the birds and the flowers and the field? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Think about it, can you? I like what the old version of the Bible, called the Authorized Version, says it this way. Which of you, by worrying, can add a single cubit to your stature? You get the idea. Jesus is actually making a bit of a joke here. You can't do it. It's so stupid. But it's so much part of our lives. Why would he say it? Because it's a reality. It's not just a modern idea, although it's particularly intense at the moment. It was the same for these people, except they were much more on the edge of things. If they didn't have stuff, they often died. Our Heavenly Father looks after us. It's just plain. We, in the depths of our being, know that things, stuff, is not really important. You are much more valuable than them. There's a chap called Leo Tolstoy, or was a chap called Leo Tolstoy, who was really well known for big fat books, like things like War and Peace, which nobody's really read. Is anybody who tells me that they've read it, I don't believe them. In fact, have you? Okay, I believe you. Who else has read it? All these hands going up. I don't believe you. I've got a copy of it on my shelf at home, but I've not read it. At least I'm honest enough to own up to that. My mother's read it, actually. She is somebody, so I do believe you. It's just big. But he also wrote, towards the end of his life, lots of little short stories, which I have a book of them, and I have read them, and they're wonderful little short stories, Tolstoy's short stories. So if you want to impress people, you see exactly the sort of thing we were talking about, read a book of Tolstoy. But he wrote one particular story that I want to talk to you about this morning called How Much Land Does a Man Need? And it's a wonderful little story. And it concerns a peasant called Pahom, his name was. He's the protagonist in the story. And he kind of enters into a debate between his wife and her older sister. And they're having an argument about which way of life is best. Is the cosmopolitan life in the city, with all that entails and all of the resources that come your way, best? Or is the best sort of life the life of a peasant living on the land? And Pahom, he largely agrees with his wife, which is always a good thing to do. Being a peasant is the best way of life, but the problem with it is there's just not enough land. I want more land. So he sets about gaining as much land as he can. And he says this: if I had plenty of land, I shouldn't fear the devil himself. This is what he said to himself. So he starts off by buying land off his neighbours. And then he starts taking them to court when they let their sheep wander onto his land that he's bought off them. And that's not enough. So he goes and buys some more land elsewhere. And he's gradually building up his stock of land. Then one day, he hears a message.
Land has been completed.
What did it say? Eh? The scan has been completed. That's good. Eh? Am I okay, doctor? Yeah. Where was I? He met the scans. That's worrying, isn't it? I tell you, we're not that far from GCHQ. I think it's them. Go away. We know you're watching. So, where did that? Is that you, William? Who's scanning thing? Eh? Well, anyway, there you go. I can't remember where I was now. So he met a man who said to him, do you know what? A long, long way away, there's a tribe of people called the Bashkirs who are giving away great big tracts of land for next to no money. And you can imagine, Pahom thought that was really nice. So off he went to the land of the Bashkirs. And he started talking to me, took a load of presents with him to kind of grease their greasy palms. And they said to him, look, if you give us 1,000 rubles... which I guess in those days in that place was a fair amount of dosh. You give us 1,000 rubles, and then from sunrise to sunset, as far as you can walk, and you must be back here by sunset to the same place, during that period, the land that you encircle, you can have it. If you fail, we'll keep the 1,000 rubles. That's a good deal, isn't it? You can walk along. How far do you think you could walk? From sunrise to sunset. I don't know, a long way. He thought he could walk an awful long way. So off he went. And just before he went, he had a bad dream in the night, actually. And in this dream, he saw the chief of the Bashkirs. And then the chief of the Bashkirs became the servant, the man who told him about this land. And then he thought the servant who told him about this land was the devil as well. He woke up and he thought that this is awful, but off he went. And so in the morning, the chief dropped his fox fur hat on the floor and said, this is the start point. And off he went. And he was striding out. And every so often, he'd dig a little hole to mark out the plot of land that he was in. He was going for it. And midday came and he began to worry. I'm not going to make it back. How am I going to get all of this land that I need? So he ran, he began to run, and he ran, and he ran, and he ran, and the sun was going down in the sky and disappeared behind this hill where he saw the Bashkirs standing, and they were cheering. And they were saying to him, come, even though you can't see the sun from our position, we can still see it. You've got a bit of time, run harder. And he ran, and he ran. And as he climbed the hill, he fell down. And his servant went over to him, and he was dead. And this is what Tolstoy says. The worker, that's his servant, picked up Pahom's spade, dug a grave and buried him 6 feet from head to heel, exactly the amount of land a man needs. It makes a really powerful point. It's a fabulous story. But that's the stark reality for us. We can accumulate as much stuff as we like, but it will never insulate us. It will never protect us against the inevitable reality of our own demise. What does Jesus say to us into that? What would Jesus say to us about living lives that are not so wedded to stuff, that we're overpowered by it and tormented by it? He would say to us, look to your Heavenly Father. Look to God your Father. He's the one who can supply real meaning in your life. Listen to these words again. Your heavenly Father knows you need them, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow's got enough worries for itself. Each day has enough trouble on its own. Seeking God's kingdom, Jesus calls us to do. And in doing that, we find meaning and reality. Seeking God's kingdom means finding out, investing your life in God's priorities, in his agenda, in his purposes for your life. And in doing that, we can be confident of God's supply. Another quick story. Jesus met a young man, or a young man ran up to Jesus and said, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit this God life that you've been talking about, this eternal life?" And Jesus said, "Yeah, you know the commandments." He said, "Yeah, all of them I've kept since I was young. I've kept all of them." That's quite a startling thing. None of us probably in here could say that, but he said it. And Jesus said, "Well, I'll tell you what. Go and sell everything you have and give it to the poor and come and follow me." And Mark's gospel tells us that he went away very sad because he had great wealth. Now, Jesus wasn't anti-wealth, but what he was anti-people being dominated and controlled by it. He was anti-wealth being their God, if you like. Now, this young man had everything going for him. He was young, much like me. He was fabulously rich. He was powerful, and he kept all the commandments. He's the sort of guy that would make you feel sick, quite frankly. He had it all. What would be wrong with that? Well, what was wrong with him is that he had a God in his life that was controlling him and dominating him and depleting him as an individual. And Jesus' simple message to him is, give it away and follow me. You'll find real life. So the secret of simple, according to Jesus, is this. I want to say to you that God cares about you and he cares about me. He cares so much today that he wants you to know his life, the life that he gave his life, that you might know. Are you not much more valuable than these? We diminish ourselves when we become addicted to stuff. And God is worth trusting. Look at the birds. He's completely trustworthy that he will, as we invest our life in his life, supply what we need. Not necessarily what we want, but what we need. And in him, we can know real freedom. So the secret to be simple is to know God and to allow him to be Lord of your life. Let's just